Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we examine the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. And this is our mini episode.
It's a mini.
In theory, it's a mini.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of shit in the news.
Yeah.
This news cycle, so it might be a little bit less mini.
Right.
A larger miniature. Well, the first thing that I kind of wanted to talk about today, and I feel like I am only bringing this up right away because I am not good at news, and I feel like I need to be better at, like, real news, like, shit that's actually happening in the world. And so I listened to the podcast, The Daily Zeitgeist, which is a really good podcast on the How Stuff Works Network, and I listened about the Michael Cohen raid because I was like, I need to understand what happened here.
Yeah.
So, I think it was on Friday, Michael Cohen's, who is, like, the personal lawyer for Donald Trump, his office was raided by the FBI.
Wow.
The FBI was like, hey, there's some shady shit going on here.
We're fucking coming in.
And I was like, okay, but, like, what does that mean? Should we be excited? Should we not be excited? Because I feel like there's many moments where I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. And then
it doesn't happen.
And then nothing happens. So I guess what happened was it has nothing really to do with the Mueller investigation.
Okay.
Into, like, you know, Russia and all that shit. But I don't know yet. Because we don't know what they found. But what I do know is that Robert Mueller, he, like, took information to the FBI and was like, hey, because, you know, he couldn't do it himself, so he was like, hey, this is some shit you might want to look into. And then the FBI, and one of the people who, like, okayed this, he had, like, donated a ton of money to the Trump campaign. He was, like, a
And he agreed to, like, Trump. Go in and investigate?
Yes.
Wow.
Like, he signed off on it.
That's
so it's like
amazing.
You know that there's some shit there.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be
for
some
someone
shit there.
Who, like, will probably stick his neck out to protect him to be like, yeah, we should look into that. That's pretty intense.
Right. Yeah. And they don't just go in for no reason, right? So, like, they went in, they raided his office without giving them any notice, of course, so they couldn't, like, cover
hide
anything
shit.
Up or hide anything. And Donald Trump is fucking pissed.
I can't wait for this movie to happen.
Like, I know.
20 years from now, like the Donald Trump movie.
Totally.
It's
gonna
be great.
Yeah.
Who would be cast as Donald Trump?
Oh, we don't know. 20 years from now. Who could it be? It must be someone who's young right now.
Yeah. Fucking the kid from Love Actually.
Oh, okay.
With an American accent.
He's so cute.
He is
don't
super
do that
cute.
To him.
I know, but I feel like he could play. He's a really good actor. And I don't know why his face, I feel like when he's older, he might be able to, like, pull off that scowl.
With some prosthetics, I feel like.
Yeah.
But, so they went in and Donald Trump is, like, super mad, obviously.
He was like, hey, don't touch my stuff.
Yeah, don't touch my stuff.
Mom!
You're not my dad. You're not my real dad. But he was basically, like, just, like, you know, going on and on about attorney-client privilege, but it was kind of like, well, you're not protected if he was helping you cover up something. Like, if he was helping you with a crime, it doesn't fall under attorney-client privilege, so you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
And then this story just kept getting juicier and juicier, right? Because,
the
like...
The juice.
Because I think it was yesterday, yesterday, they were at court, and they were trying to be like, we can't reveal who this third private client is of Michael Cohen, like, because it would cause him embarrassment. That's what they said.
Oh.
And the judge was like, I don't give a shit.
That's
like,
not how this works.
Has to tell me. And so in court, like, he didn't wait for someone else to tell him. He didn't tell him privately or, like, write it down or anything. In court, the guy was like, well, we can't tell you because it would be embarrassing because the third client is Sean Hannity.
I was swallowing wine. Holy shit, how savage is that
shit? Amazing. Sean Hannity's
Was he there?
He's a client of Michael Cohen, who's, like, this crooked lawyer for Trump.
Oh, my God.
And then Sean Hannity, like, got on Twitter, because look, man, I still don't get Twitter. I don't like Twitter. I have a personal Twitter now that I have literally not tweeted on at all.
Yeah.
But I got on Twitter, because I know that's where, like, shit goes down, and, like, searched Sean Hannity to see what he had to say for himself. And he's basically, and he's repeated this on Fox News, But he's basically saying, like, he's not my lawyer. He was never my personal lawyer. I may have talked to him about some stuff, but I was under the impression that that was confidential. And it's like, well, if he wasn't your lawyer...
Then there's no confidentiality.
Correct. Like, it wouldn't be confidential, so which is it? Like, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You know, so...
It's stupid people trying to think... It's, like, stupid people who think they're smart and can outsmart people by saying things like that and don't realize that they're, like, digging their own grave.
Yeah. He's just digging himself deeper and deeper. And, like, Fox News is standing behind him, and it was so weird to listen to them break this news because they had to, right?
Yeah, and they're like, fuck.
And the way they did it, they were like, and they've announced a third client of Michael Cohen, and it's...
Like one single tear coming down their face.
No, they acted like detached, right? Like,
yeah.
Like they didn't know him, right? They were like,
yeah.
So they've announced the third client of Michael Cohen, and it's Sean Hannity. And in other news, and you're like, what?
What?
You can't just do that.
Wait, repeat yourself.
You can just touch on that and walk away.
What? No.
So yeah, that was amazing. And basically everyone is like, cause he's had like Michael Cohen on the show and talked to him and acted like he was super like partisan or, you know, like bipartisan about the whole thing. And in reality, it's like you had a personal relationship with this guy. What? You know what I mean? Like, you didn't disclose that to your listeners? That's super messed up.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to, I don't want to go deeply into it because I, in truth, do not really know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I just try to absorb information and then spit it back at you because...
I know less than you, Keegan. It's fine.
I feel like I'm like, I need to educate myself on these things. But at the same time, there are certain subjects that I feel like are almost too complicated that just don't stick in my brain.
Okay.
All right. What else?
Do you want to talk about Coachella?
I mean, sure. It's happening. So right? Let's do it.
Okay. So last week was the first week of Coachella. And some celebrities have kind of spoken up about some of the shady business involving the owner, or I shouldn't say the owner of Coachella, but the...
Founder person?
It's like his company is, like, owns... Yeah, I guess owns it.
Yeah.
It is the... And I'm going to say his name wrong. Anschutz. A-N-S-C-H-U-T-Z.
I don't know.
Anschutz?
I don't know. I've heard about this guy being, like, problematic.
Entertainment
but...
group. So he is an entrepreneur that, like, he, like, has property ownership. Like, here, I'm just going to, like, list to you some of, like, the many things that he fucking, like, is in charge of. Land ownership. Rail and petroleum business. Entertainment. The Anschutz Entertainment Group. Soccer. Other sports. Philanthropy.
Just soccer? Like the broad soccer.
But then it says other sports. Other business ventures, blah, 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 blah. Political and religious activism. I'm going to touch on that for sure. So, this is what's kind of coming out. This guy is, he supported the Parents Television Council, a group that protests against television indecency. He financed and distributed films with Christian themes for mass audiences, which is, you know, fine. Whatever.
Fine.
Do what you're going to do. Such as Amazing Grace, Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, Witch of the Wardrobe, which is cool,
Love
I guess.
Love that movie. Not going to lie.
So this is kind of like, all right. Whatever, not too bad. Reportedly donated to conservative causes and groups which are openly anti-gay, anti-transgender, and anti-abortion. He responded to the reports by saying, neither I nor the foundation fund an organization with the purpose for expectation that it would finance anti-LGBTQ initiatives, and when it has come to my attention or the attention of Anschutz Foundation that certain organizations, either the foundation or I have funded, have been supporting such causes, we have immediately ceased all contributions to such groups. But Anschutz, motherfucker, this bitch, contributed $1 million to conservatives during the 2016 U.S. elections, including pro-life and pro-gun candidates, and $200,000 to Republican politicians and political action committees during the 2017 off-year elections. So, he's claiming, he's like, oh no, like, as soon as we find out that they're a part of this stuff, like, we back out. There's no way. But that's complete bullshit.
It's contradictory with his own personal worldview.
It's contradictory, but again, he's saying these things in hopes that people aren't going to dig a little deeper and see the people he's given his money to.
You know what? It's weird because I've heard that this guy's been really controversial for a while.
He has been. This is not a new thing.
He's been bedfellows. Because I remember when Standing Rock was happening, people were like, he has some weird connection with Standing Rock, if I'm not, like, you know, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I might be mistaken about that, but I'm pretty sure. Because I remember people being really up in arms about, you know, people like to make fun of the fact that Coachella is, like, cultural appropriation central, like, I mean, music festivals is, but... in general.
Yeah.
And then also to have him have, like, giving money to pipelines and things like that, like, yeah. Oil pipelines. Yeah,
he's a piece of shit, for real. Like, he's just not... an honest
man. Well, listen, you can have whatever beliefs you want, and, like, exactly. that's fine. And honestly, to me, back up those beliefs if you want. If you have
by
the money,
being a good person.
Well, if you have the money and you want to donate to this cause or that cause because it's important to you,
yeah.
I would never say, like, we should stop people from doing that. What I have a problem with him is that you've built an empire on the back of something like Coachella, which yeah. is really, like, on the back of a lot of liberal ideologies.
That's, yeah, I was talking to my boss about it, and she's like, that doesn't even make any sense. And I read her that whole thing that I just read to you guys, and she was like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense with, like, the culture of the people that you're bringing together, but that it doesn't matter because yeah. he's making so much money.
And he's laughing all the way to the bank, you know what
exactly.
I mean? So it's just like, he can take your money. Like, that's, I think we all just need to decide, and this is something that I've learned as a consumer getting older, is you do have buying power
mm-hmm.
and you can withhold. Now, people won't. It's Coachella mm-hmm. and people are not going to not go to Coachella. Like,
a lot of celebrities this year, though, like Patricia Arquette and a few other, like,
yeah.
lower ranking celebrities have said things.
On the grand scale, it's not ever going to, like, you know, go away.
I've never heard about this before, though. You know what I mean? And, like,
but I'd heard things last year, you know, like, the yeah. things have been circulating for a while. Like, yeah. if you wanted to dig deep and, like, learn about this stuff, you could.
Yeah.
But people just want to have a good time. And I don't blame them for that. But there are certain things you can't do. I turn off the radio when Chris Brown comes on in my car. Like, yep. there are just certain things that you know, you draw the line where you feel like you need to.
Exactly.
But it is shitty.
Yeah, you know? It's very shitty. And I feel like people ought to know.
Yeah, people ought to know. Saying? Put that on the airwaves.
They ought to know.
Get that in their earbuds.
All right, what's next, Keegs?
Well, I've got a couple of things. I guess since we're kind of on a music kick right now,
okay.
Kendrick Lamar just won the Pulitzer for his album Damn.
Cool.
Which is crazy. He's the first hip-hop artist to win that award. Not only is he the first hip-hop artist to win that award, but it's the first time that since the music category was introduced for Pulitzer that a classical or jazz musician has not mm-hmm. won that award.
So, that's really cool.
Yeah, and he won unanimously across the board. And
wow.
there's a really good quote.
I can't say I really know any of his music because I don't know any music from this day. People keep talking about a Cardi B. Never heard a damn song by her. I hear she's great.
I like Cardi B. She's
I don't know.
Fascinating.
Kendrick.
Cardi yeah. B is fascinating.
As a person, I've been, like, I always read articles and stuff about her, but I can't say I've ever heard any of her songs. I've probably heard a Kendrick song without realizing I've heard a Kendrick song.
You 110% have.
But I don't, but that's the thing is that I don't.
Well, he did the music for Black Panther, so
okay.
you definitely heard it there at least, bare minimum.
Yeah. No, and I know that he's good. I'm just like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't, like, I either listen to, like, my Spotify or I listen to, like, what we have is, like, K-Earth, which is, like, 80s for the most part.
Nothing wrong with,
like,
that.
Or, like, Coast 103.5.
Oh, I love Coast 103.5. I'm not gonna lie. In Christmas time?
Yes!
Amazing.
Like, all the time.
All the Christmas music.
But I don't really listen to any contemporary stations anymore. Not because I'm like, oh, fuck this, or I'm gonna be whatever. I just kind of, like, got out of the loop of it. And now if I, like, ever flip to those channels, I'm like, I don't know what any of this is. I don't really need to, you know.
I think part of that happens as you get older. Like, whenever I was a teenager, I was all about finding new music, like, so down to, like, hear new music. I think when you get older, you kind of get settled into your groove, and you're like, I'm good.
And, well, I kind of like listening to, like, some alternative new music and things like that. I think I've stopped pretending to like music that I
just aren't interested in.
I'm not interested in.
I love Kendrick Lamar, and I've actually I've cycled back around to like digging hip hop. I actually do dig hip hop now, but
I respect it. And when I do hear it, I hear it good stuff, I completely 100% respect it and enjoy it. But it's not
like Kendrick Lamar.
I'm sure I would, and I'm sure I've heard some of his songs.
Yeah, he's truly an artist, like really kind of like the voice of a generation.
Yeah.
For Generation Z, for the younger generation. Like, my little brother actually said that to me whenever we were talking about something, and he was like, this is how I know there's a generation gap, because mm-hmm. he said to me, was there a musical artist who was like the definer for your generation, like Kendrick is for our generation? Like, he said that to me.
And you're like, Britney Spears?
Like, a million years old.
The Spice Girls? I don't know.
I mean, for our generation, if it's like he's 18. So if it was like equating it, I'd say, honestly, if we're talking along the same lines, it probably would have been Kanye, because Kanye was lit at that time. Like, yeah. Whenever we were in
high
school.
As far as hip-hop goes, I definitely would agree.
So he
won... I know what I'm talking about.
He won the Pulitzer for the album Damn. And the administrator of the prizes said in an interview, "The time was right. We are very proud of this selection. It means that the jury and the board judging system worked as it's supposed to. The best work was awarded a Pulitzer Prize."
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she added, "It shines a light on hip-hop in a completely different way. This is a big moment for hip-hop music and a big moment for the Pulitzers."
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, so it's super, super cool. And, you know, he's only 30 years old. He's barely older than me, but he is just fucking crushing it. So
that's amazing.
Hats off to Kendrick.
Definitely.
Lamar.
I think that's fantastic. Yeah. I remember being very excited that Bob Dylan won a Nobel Prize.
Yeah. Yeah, last year.
Minnesota. Yeah. And I fucking love Bob Dylan.
Me too.
He's so rad.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Go Kendrick. Did you hear that Cash Me Outside Girl is nominated for like a Billboard Music
Are
Award?
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. Is it for that Hey Bitch song?
I don't know. I haven't heard it.
Anthony made me watch the video for that Hey Bitch song and I wanted to die. I wanted to die.
She's such a fucking fool.
This is the thing. And I know it's more complicated than this and more nuanced than this, but can we please just stop making stupid people famous?
Like, right?
Why are we doing this? Like, and you know what? Actually, fine. Her like ability is fine. Like, she doesn't make terrible songs. You know
what
I mean?
She's just a piece of shit person.
It's just, can we stop rewarding people's mm-hmm. bad behavior? Like, I feel like such an old person, but I'm like, can we stop rewarding people's bad behavior? Like, I feel this way about like Farrah from Teen Mom too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, can we stop giving her attention and money and endorsements and shit because she's a really bad parent and like a bad person, you know? Yeah.
Honestly, the thing is if she was a mom on Teen Mom who one day decided to get into adult films, I could easily forgive that. That's each
that
person's...
That doesn't bother me. It's not the adult film that bothers me, necessarily.
She's just a horrible...
It's everything about the way that she parents that bothers me. Like, she's not nice. Like, she's not nice to her mom, and her mom's not nice to her either, but she's also not good to her kid. Like, there's just... And she's obviously narcissistic. Like, there's issues with her. But
So
Cash Me Outside Girl. What's her name? Danielle something?
I don't care.
It's something like that.
I don't... She's known as, like, Bad Babe with, like, H's in there or something, I think, for her rap name.
But why? But why? You know? It's just frustrating to me.
I love it.
Okay, well, we're just, like, cycling through these. This might not be as long as I thought.
I have, like, a pop culture kind of thing. What do you have?
I have a couple of other things.
Okay.
This one is uplifting.
Okay.
We're, like, trying to decide.
Mine's not, like, uplifting. It's just a fact. It's kind of feminist news.
Okay, yeah, bring it.
Okay, so have you ever read the book The Female Persuasion?
I have not.
I haven't either, and I don't think I'm going to because... Sounds really white feminist.
Oh, no.
But they are making a movie, and Nicole Kidman is involved.
Okay.
She's producing it and allegedly starring in it. And people either, like, really like this book or they really hate it. They say it's about idealism, feminism, white women, mentorship, and roughly our modern era.
Mm.
Yeah.
If okay, I don't want this to sound like I'm being like discriminatory, but if white women is in the title, I'm kind of like, do we need a book for that?
Well, yeah. Well,
that's
they're
like
saying
every book before 1910.
That's how these people are describing it. It follows Greer Kadetsky, a young woman with dreams and aspirations who looks to her mentor, a Gloria Steinem-esque character named Fatih Frank, who gets paid to head a foundation and spout empowerment feminist aphorisms. Yeah, and they're kind of trying to decide who is going to be the younger female role in this. And they were like, maybe Catherine Newton, Hermione Granger, Elle Fanning, the girl from, what is, oh, it says witch. I thought it was like two V's. And then it goes, Lena Dunham? I was like, oh God, yeah. I hope not Lena Dunham. We'll talk about my hatred for Lena Dunham someday.
Yeah.
But
mutual hatred.
Yeah, for real.
Or mutual.
But yeah, I don't know much about it. I kind of want to look more into this book just to kind of be able to back up my statements
a
little bit.
I can't speak on it because I don't know enough about it.
Right.
But I do know that
I just wanted to bring it up to the fact that it's happening.
Yeah. So listen, if you have read that book and can provide some insights, please email us because
for sure.
We don't know.
For sure. And I mean, I'm sure there's something for me that I would get out of it because it may speak to my existence in some way, but that's a very small window.
And look, that's okay. Like, you know, white women's existence is a different existence than others. So that's fine if it speaks to that group of people and like they have something that's interesting to them. The only thing that makes me kind of roll my eyes is just like, well, but that's most things. You know, like most things are catered to you.
Right.
So I mean, I get it. So I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Even the New York Times kind of like tweeted something putting Lena Dunham and the author Meg Wolitzer. And it says like Lena Dunham, Meg Wolitzer, our work here is done. Why exactly would the pairing of Lena Dunham and Meg Wolitzer mean that the work of the New York Times Book Review and maybe feminism is done? The tweet did not say, neither did the review. the conversation I've been hearing around the book before I even received my gallery, I don't know who's saying this, I'm sorry. Oh, it's Dunham. Was about its resonance within our current political climate, one that is so focused on issues of women's consent, control, and intersectionality, she says.
I don't trust her use that term.
Leaving me to wonder what book she'd read. bitch, what?
Here's the deal. Like, I believe that Lena Dunham is well-meaning. I also believe that she is extremely misguided.
She also, I don't think, cares enough to investigate further beyond her white feminism. No, maybe there's something more that she could be a part of.
I think she is. Like, that's the thing. I think she thinks she is. I just think she's extremely tone deaf.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't understand it. And there was a really interesting article written by someone, and I can't remember, so we can go into that, you know, deeper in another episode, but it was written by someone a black woman who had gone to school with Lena Dunham in one of those, like, prestigious schools, and she talked about it as being hipster racism, where you're dealing with these people who are like, they think they're really progressive because they're from like an artistic upper Manhattan neighborhood of like really hippie progressive parents. And so they think that they're like really enlightened and liberal, but really there's so much classism and with it racism going on that they can't even see. And they think that they're enlightened, so they think that they can like do things like say the N-word and like it's okay because they're, you know, they're with it. And it's like that kind of racism and or just tone deafness bothers me more than the Hicks that I went to high school with. You know what I mean? Like, that shit bugs me even more.
I can see that.
So, because I'm just like, because they're fucking claiming, know better. Because
they claim in to be woke. They woke.
Don't claim it. Don't claim it if you can't carry the torch. Don't claim it if you're not showing up. You know, I'm not into it. Anyway, that was my mini Lena Dunham rant.
That's pretty much all I have this week, so I'm just going to let you, because I know you have a lot, so I'm just going to keep letting you go.
We got some stuff. Okay. Well, this one's really exciting, and there's actually more about this that we can get into in another episode, possibly.
Yay!
But for now, I just wanted to address it because it just happened. Desiree Linden just became the first American woman to win the Boston Marathon in 3 decades.
Yes!
So this happened yesterday.
Yes!
And this is from Time. This is from the Time article by Jennifer Kalfas. The drought is over for American women at the Boston Marathon. Desiree Desi Linden, 34, won the Boston Marathon and became the first American woman to win the women's race since Lisa Larson Weidenbeck did so in 1985 after pulling away from a competitive field and battling unusually cold, wet, and windy conditions. The win marked redemption for Linden, who performed in the elite field at Boston throughout her career and lost the 2011 Boston Marathon title by just 2 seconds. And I guess she's a two-time Olympian. This is just, like, it's really exciting. It's the first time in, what year was that, since 1985?
That's crazy.
So it's been a really, really long time since a woman has won the Boston Marathon. So hell yeah, just wanted to shout that out. And
it's amazing.
Girl power to you.
Yeah. I just remembered that before I came over here, I got an alert on my phone that Barbara Bush had passed away.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too.
Her husband may not be the best. Her son may not be the best. She may not be the best.
But it's worth mentioning.
I think it's worth mentioning. And, you know, it's still a life lost. And they were still an influential part of our country, whether that be in a good way or a bad way.
Right. The Bushes are an American legacy.
Yep. And as a matriarch of one of America's political dynasties, the Washington Post states. Yeah. She was very much a part of the public eye. She was seen by many as kind of like the grandmother of our country for a while. You know, she just had this grandmother kind of look to her.
She seemed like a nice lady. I don't really have a lot of...
I just think it's so worth, you know, recognizing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say along with that, but
What I was saying was, like, I don't have a lot of disdain for her. Like, I don't feel strong negative feelings towards Barbara Bush. Like, I think she's probably a lovely lady, you know? I know people have very strong feelings about...
Maybe a little blind to issues.
Of course.
Concerning her son and husband, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What mother isn't.
Yeah, of course, but that's, you know... Anytime that happens, of course, my heart goes out to the family. Like, it's a tough thing, you know?
I was talking about my grandma passing away today, and it was just, like, it's weird. It's been, like, 13 years, and it's still, like, hits hard sometimes
when you
think about it.
It still hurts, you know? And so, like, regardless of whatever flaws, we're all flawed. We all have issues.
Yep.
You know, but your family is your family, and that's going to hurt always. So my heart does break. I mean, she had children. She had grandchildren who are mourning her right now. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
Even, like, great-grandchildren, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so R.I.P. Barbara Bush.
All right. I just want to mention that
real quick. Yeah, it needed to be mentioned. I'm glad you did.
Okay.
I'm glad you did. So there's one more thing, and then I'll close with kind of a well, neither one of these are particularly good. So a white nationalist is now the front runner in the GOP primary in Paul Ryan's district. So Paul Ryan, who is the Speaker of the House currently, but he has announced that he will not be running for re-election. Can't imagine why. His life must have been so easy. Although he did just kind of, like, walk in, light the shit on fire by getting, like, Donald Trump in there and then being like, deuces, I'm out. You know?
Yep.
Like, which is pretty shitty.
Yep.
But
people are great.
This is from the Vice article. It says, long shot candidate and self-described pro-white politician Paul Nealon is now the leading Republican to take over Ryan's Wisconsin seat.
Guys!
Now that the current Speaker of the House is not running for re-election.
Guys.
I know.
White supremacists, go back into hiding.
No. They're out and proud now.
I know. Go back into hiding. Go back to being ashamed of yourselves.
You can't stick that shit back in. Once it's popped, it's popped.
Remember when you had to, like, hide the fact that you were a Nazi? Go fucking back to that.
Yeah.
Don't fucking run for public office,
those
you asshole.
Those were good times. Doesn't that feel like a long time
when
ago?
When you could pretend that you weren't a Nazi?
Yeah.
Good
times.
Fucking great. And fucking Nazis weren't running rampant around the
country. I mean,
they
were, but at least they knew better than to be proud of it. Yeah.
Come on now. I mean, don't be a Nazi at all. But, like, don't fucking run for office of any kind.
Don't try to lead shit.
Don't say you're pro-white.
Don't try to run shit. You know what I mean?
I'm not a Nazi, but I am pro-white. Like, no!
I just really like white people.
Fuck you, man.
You know.
Fuck you. Ugh, sorry, continue. I cut you off.
No, you're good. You're good. Nealon incited international outrage in February when he tweeted a photo of Prince Harry's fiancée, Meghan Markle, with an image of a dark-skinned prehistoric human known as Cheddar Man. I posted about Cheddar Man on my personal Facebook page. So Cheddar Man is the oldest, I think it's the oldest human remains that they have found. It's like prehistoric human remains.
This is kind of ringing bells. Continue.
Yeah, in England.
Yes.
And when they did all the testing on it, they discovered that, you know, this is England. They would have thought it would have looked a certain way.
Yes.
But he was black.
He was black. Yes, I remember this.
He had blue eyes.
Yeah.
But he, like, naturally blue eyes, but he was a black man, like, darker than me, considerably, like, looked black. And so this fucking
guy... He fucking compared Meghan Markle to the Cheddar Man?
He did.
What a fucking asshole.
He posted the pictures alongside and tweeted, "Honey, does this tie make my face look pale?"
What?
He's just...
What does that even fucking mean, asshole?
I don't know. I don't know.
People...
Unless he's trying to say that that's... That is what she looks like.
Cut your racist fucking bullshit. I don't care what it means. Your argument makes no sense.
Well, to Twitter's benefit, the racist tweet prompted Twitter to permanently ban Neelan.
Yeah.
Though it wasn't the first time he'd drawn criticism on the platform. In January, he posted a list of his critics and claimed most of them were Jewish. He also used the hashtag "It's okay to be white," according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
That's like feminism is cancer. I just don't understand it.
It's okay to be white. Like, no fucking kidding, dude. Like, no kidding.
Really? Tell me more.
You can go back to any time in history, should we have had a time machine, and be fucking okay. It's crazy. It's okay to be white.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I'll talk about, like, really loving, like, parts about the time that, like, my mom grew up. You know, she grew up in the 50s, graduated high school in 1969. Very exciting time. A lot of shit happened, and I'm always like, oh man, I wish I could, like, go back there. And Chris is like, I'm good.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think I remember because I loved that time period.
Yeah.
20s, 30s, 40s, 50s particular. My wall was covered with starlets from that time. Like, I cut out pictures and it was all over my wall.
You're a little pinup girl.
It was my favorite time, like, you know, that I loved that stuff, all that vintage stuff. And I remember the first time it hit me whenever I was, like, in middle school, where I was just, like, I tried to make all these, like, justifications and ways that it would be okay if I was living in that time frame. And then I really came to the conclusion that I was just like, no, actually, it would be really fucking awful for me. Mm-hmm. And if I was part of an interracial family, it would be really fucking awful for our whole family if I lived in 1955. So we romanticize the past in this way. And it's like, but well, the best, shitty.
The best way that I've heard described when someone's like, oh, I really love the 50s or whatever, is if you just add, like, I really love the 50s aesthetic.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love that sound.
Wine. Yes, that is true. Like, you know, so I'm good. I can still put rollers in my hair and wear a cute vintage dress in 2018. I'm good.
Know? Yeah. No, I just think
But I do understand, and I understand the idea that it's like a simpler time and all of that sort of.
Yeah, and, you know, the music and the way that, you know, people went out dancing on Saturday night and, you know, things like that.
No smartphones, no technology.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that era of music from, like, the 50s, I mean, before that with Judy Garland, but especially, like, the 50s through the 60s are, like, that's the music that I kind of grew up with and love listening to, and I wish I could, you know, go and, like, do the twist.
Well, you can. We live in L.A. There are swing clubs everywhere. But sorry, to get back on this. So he used that hashtag, "It's okay to be white," and then he was dubbed an outrage artist, I guess, by, like, people on Twitter. Like, he was just doing it to get attention.
Yeah.
Breitbart, which previously supported Neelan, has since cut all ties with the candidate due to his clearly anti-Semitic and white nationalist comments.
Oh, you don't say.
If Breitbart is cutting you off for being too much of a Nazi, are you kidding? You are above and beyond Nazi level if Breitbart is willing
to
be like,
that's a fucking
shut
problem.
Shut it fucking down.
Fucking problem.
So, yeah, that guy might be our new... he will be running, so...
Yay.
In Wisconsin, so just something to look forward to. And, the last thing that I really have here is, and I know you brought it up when you came in, is the Starbucks incident.
Yep.
So, do you know anything about how that started?
Former partner right here, don't know shit. Educate me.
So, this is what happened. In Philadelphia, I believe, in Philadelphia, last week, there was this week, I think the video went viral, or end of last week, a video went viral of these two black men being arrested in a Starbucks.
Maybe I have seen that video or heard of that.
I have a really hard time watching videos like that anymore. Like, yeah. Because they just make me, like, super upset.
No, I don't watch shit. I just read about it.
Yeah. So here's what happened. Here's the skinny. Here's what went down.
Okay.
So these two black guys went into a Philadelphia Starbucks to meet a friend. A friend was going to meet them there, and then they were going to do whatever they were going to do. So they went in. They asked to use the restroom. The manager said the restroom's for paying customers only. So they were just like, okay, whatever, and sat down. And they were just sitting down. They didn't order anything. They were just sitting down waiting for their friend to arrive. I guess this manager decided that they looked suspicious in some way and called the police.
What the fuck?
And had them arrest. The police put them in cuffs, like took them into custody. What? They were just sitting there. They weren't doing anything. Yeah, they literally weren't doing anything.
On what fucking grounds, man?
I don't know. I mean, hold on. I might have written down what they technically were arrested for.
I mean, having worked there, we have this man who I'm pretty sure was homeless who would, like, be stealing stuff. And it's not like the first time it ever happened. We were like, oh my God. Like, people were kind of like, okay, we think
if
he's
they were
stealing
things, that's different, right, though.
But, like, even then, it was kind of like it wasn't this immediate, like, oh my God. And I mean, we had people come in all the time who would be waiting for somebody. And then usually there was a paying customer in there somewhere. And even if not, well, we were usually so busy anyways that we couldn't even tell.
Like, I work at Starbucks almost every day. Like, whenever I'm editing.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were like,
no,
you work at Starbucks.
No, like, I go to work and then on my lunch breaks, I'll either be doing research or writing or editing at Starbucks. Like, that's usually what I do. I usually order something small just to, like, have something while I'm working.
Yeah.
But there are other people there who are on their laptops who are just working.
Yeah.
Who aren't ordering anything. Yeah. And I think that she said that they were trespassing. I think that's what she said.
But, like, that's just crazy.
But they literally weren't doing
anything.
People
that are there all the time just using that space.
No, it's truly...
It's a made-up reason, obviously.
Yeah, it's a made-up reason. Like, there's no reason. And there was this woman who, or was it a woman, the person who filmed it, it was interesting because she spoke out and said, like, yeah, I had friends even who came up to me and were like, what really happened? Like, surely more happened than you caught on film, or, like, we're missing part of the story. They had to have been doing something.
And she's like, nope.
And she's like, no, they literally weren't doing anything. They were just sitting there. But being black and male is enough to make them suspicious.
Yep.
And so they ended up being put into custody, and they were like, we're just waiting for our friend. And while it was happening, while the police were there, their friend came in and was like,
really?
What the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And obviously, uproar ensued.
Yeah.
And in response to that, because there's been a lot of, you know, protesting outside of that Starbucks, so the woman, the manager, was fired, or I'm not actually sure if she was fired. She no longer is employed there, is what I read.
I mean, she could get a job at another Starbucks.
They
depending.
Said it was mutual. Like, it was a mutual decision for them.
That's
to
what you
let
say
her go.
When a fucking breakup when you're in middle school. You're like, oh yeah, it was mutual.
And
we
I'm
both
sorry,
decided.
I don't want it to be mutual. I want to know you fired her.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
What do you mean you like had a conversation and both mutually decided? Like, it shouldn't have been that.
It should have been like you're fucking fired. Leave.
Yeah, you're fired because you did something like not
really
cool.
Shitty.
Yeah.
Well, the police shouldn't have responded that way anyways.
No.
But also, you have to know that, like, there are a lot of corrupt cops out there. You kind of know what you're getting yourself into by claiming what you think is happening when you know it's not
right.
Happening,
I mean,
you know?
And not in defense of those cops, because I don't know, and I do think it's pretty shitty that they didn't try to, like, mediate the situation. They just immediately came in and put him in handcuffs.
Yeah.
But what did she say to them that made them think that they were doing
something? Exactly. She may have possibly said
that
more.
They were doing something that they shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So were they taken into custody and the whole...
No charges were filed, but they were taken into custody.
The fuck?
Yeah. It's... Can you imagine?
And, like, that ruins people's lives, too. I don't know. I just, like...
It definitely clouds your... It puts this, like, rain cloud over your life. It makes you more suspicious of everything. It makes you feel unsafe. When you were just trying to, like, live your life, meet your friend, you know, it's just really...
fucking Starbucks.
Yeah, it's really upsetting. And in response to it, though, Starbucks has said that they will close 8,000 company-owned stores in the United States for one afternoon in May. I don't have the date here, but it is
I think I heard May 29th.
It's May 20-something,
I think that's what I heard.
So don't try and get your Starbucks on whatever day that is. Look it up, because we didn't.
I'm pretty sure it was May, because I was talking about it at dinner with my bosses, and the little boy I nanny for was like, but... not May 30th, right? Because that's my friend's birthday. Aww. And we're like, no, honey. And like, not that he's going to be going to Starbucks anyways. Like,
I mean, whoever's birthday that is, what a bummer for them, because you get free shit on your birthday.
True that.
Well, actually, they give you a few days to use it. So
I mean, it's like a five-year-old boy.
But Starbucks says it will close 8,000 company-owned stores in the United States for one afternoon to educate employees about racial bias.
Yep.
The racial bias training will be provided on May 29th, there yep. it is, to about 175,000 workers.
That is something that I can definitely say for Starbucks, is that for the most part, they are a company with a lot of integrity, mm-hmm. and especially...
They own up to their shit.
Up to their shit. And especially in the store that I worked for, there were all different types of people mm-hmm. that worked there. And it was a place of, like, really great community. You know, like, I had little tussles with certain coworkers every now and again who were just very different than me, and we just weren't each other's cup of tea. Yeah, you're not going
to click with everybody.
Exactly. Never any, like, issues. But what I love is the respect that's kind of encouraged and built a lot of times in that community. And it's great. Like, it makes me feel so good. I remember once this guy came in with a Make America Great Again hat on. And I'm, like, looking around the room of the people that I'm working with. I think I was the only white person there. Like, my manager is, well, we have, like, a manager in training who's Hispanic. Our manager is from Japan. There was a black gay man. Actually, we had two black gay men working there, and like another, I think he was Filipino. And I was just looking around the room and I was like, my God, like, you are outnumbered here, buddy, because like, we've like, I've got this whole like,
well, he's cornucopia. Outnumbered. He's outnumbered in general. I remember I was at
right,
that.
But I'm like, what the fuck? And it just made me, but it also just made me look around, because like, it's offensive to me and makes me upset. I can only imagine how heartbreaking it is for the other people that I was working with, not that they would let it affect them at work or things like that, but like, I don't know. It just made me mad because I didn't want him to show that hat near them. I wanted to protect them in some way.
I mean, to me, like, speaking as like, you know, a minority, to me, that stuff is jarring. It's definitely jarring. Yeah. Like, I remember I was at the Vons, actually, right by your house. I saw a truck that had a Trump sticker on it.
Mm-mm.
And I remember just being like, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Again, like, we are what we are. Your political views are what they are. But in Burbank, California, it is so jarring. Like, I was just like, you're just not expecting to see it. And so then you see it and you're like, oh, whoa. And I saw another truck, or it might have been, no, it was another truck that had a Confederate
truck.
Had a Confederate flag
I've
sticker on it.
I've seen Confederate flags a lot. And I'm like,
you're in California, dude.
You're fucking dense, man.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, if I see that, it's a daily occurrence if I'm in Missouri. Like, that's daily. Like, that's on stuff all over the place. Like, that is just part of, like, life in the South. But here, I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Yep. Agreed. It's very jarring.
It is. It's strange. It's
but
strange.
I love when I think I see Make America Great Again, and then I go closer and it says, like, Make America Gay Again or something.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes!
Me too. But when I went to that anti-gun rally, the one that happened right after
and they're wearing
Parkland,
red hats, you get scared.
No, yeah, it's scary. Like, because there was somebody who had a hat like that. It said, like, Make America Safe Again.
Yeah.
But we were on the other side, and all of us were like, did that guy just show up here in a Make America Great Again hat? And it did scare us because we were at an anti-gun rally. And we're like, what is this guy going to pull?
Yeah.
Like, we were concerned.
Literally, what is he going to fucking pull?
Precisely. Yeah. But yeah, then we got close and we're like, oh, I get it. But also, don't worry. Like, Anthony bought me whenever, before the election happened, when John Oliver was selling those hats.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a Make Donald Trump Again, and then there was another one that was red.
Yeah.
That looked like a Make America Great Again hat. He got me the blue one.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, get it in a different color,
he was like,
man.
I didn't want people to think that you were wearing a Make America Great Again
hat. Just confuse people. Be like, wait, what?
Okay, so it says, Starbucks says the training will be developed with guidance from experts, including former Attorney General Eric Holder, Sherilyn Ifill, the president of the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, and Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, will also help design the program, will executives from the Equal Justice Initiative and Demos, the progressive think tank. The experts will also review the effectiveness of the training, Starbucks says. It sucks that this happens. It sucks that people are
but
shitty.
How great is it that we are now taking something like that and trying to make...
We have a good response here.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a good response here. I like it that this company just saw it and they said, you know what? this is an issue, we're going to address the issue. Yeah. They didn't try and, like, skirt around it. They didn't try and say, well, this is an isolated incident. They didn't try and cover it up. They said, you know what? This is a problem, and it's symptomatic of a bigger problem, and we're going to do something about it, which is really, really cool. So, that's all I have for news-wise.
Well, I have something that I'm very excited about. It's not news. I have our very first sister solidarity story.
Okay, awesome.
Tell me. Really, 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 really want you guys to start sending these in. It doesn't have to be anything grand. I finally just reached out to my mom, and I was like, maybe if you...
Kickstart it.
Maybe people will, like, understand it better and want to be, like, sending stories in. And so she, again, was stressing out, like, oh my God, what am I going to send? And I just said, just send something that makes you feel good, something simple, you know? So this is the email that she sent us. Hi, Keegan and Madigan. I'm finally getting around to sending in my sister solidarity moment/moments. Here goes. My favorite times are spent with my gal pals, old or new. There's not much to compare to sitting around in comfy clothes, drinking wine, usually from a box because it's cheap, and having having munchies while sharing happy and sad stories with friends. And like your podcast, I always learn something new and laugh my butt off. I have a brother and some guy friends, and they are fun, but never could I share these guys like I share with my gals. They are the best. I hope this email encourages other listeners to send in their solidarity stories and continue to rage on, in all caps.
Liz H. Thank you, Liz. That's wonderful. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Exactly. I told her, I'm like, just be like, hey, I had a really great conversation with my sister this week. She always makes me feel better. You know, anything like that.
Yeah.
And so that's our first one. And I really, guys, please, neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. Yes. Send them in. Send them through direct message on Instagram. Post something and tag us or use the hashtag Sister Solidarity. We check it.
Yeah.
I would love for this to keep going because I really do want to grow a community of listeners that feel like we have each other's backs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have a safe place for people to go and discuss whatever they want to discuss or ask questions or get things off their chest and just have a really safe place. And I think this is going to be a really good way for us to do that. So thanks, Mom.
Totally. Thank you, Liz. So I just have a couple other things to bring up before we wrap this thing up. I know it's been a long mini episode, but we had a lot to say.
Yeah.
It's fine. So one thing that I wanted to bring up along the same line as the Sister Solidarity stories, hopefully you're all still with us at the end of this episode. Madigan and I really feel like it's important to celebrate and honor mothers, speaking of your mom.
Agreed.
So we really, really want to do a Mother's Day episode, but as neither of us are mothers.
Wait, I didn't tell you?
Oh my God, no.
I'm just kidding.
As neither of us are mothers, we thought it would be a really cool idea to have listeners submit to us your motherhood stories.
Yep.
And it can be anything. It can be the joy of being a mother. It can be the trials of being a mother. Things that you found difficult, things you were scared of, you know, whenever you learned that you were going to be a mother.
And if you're not a mom and you have stories about
your
mothers, we totally want to hear that too.
Yeah, absolutely. So please, please email us or DM us and we will read your stories because I would love to have one episode where we're just reading about, you know, the wonderful women, the wonderful mothers.
Agreed.
Or mother-like figures in your life.
Right. Well, this is the other thing I was going to say, because this is something that I feel around Father's Day a lot, because I don't really have a relationship with him, where it's kind of like an emptiness in a way, where you're kind of like, oh, I can't be a part of this. Even if you just want to bring awareness to the fact that not everybody has, you know, great mother figures or things like that in their lives.
Absolutely.
If you feel like you just need to send this to us so that you have someone seeing it and recognizing your struggle, I'm 100% up for reading those.
Agreed.
Here too. I think that, you know, again, with Sister Solidarity, we can all be each other's mothers in some way. You know, it's like that womanly love that we can feel for one another.
Or tell us about the person in your life who maybe is filling that void for you, even if it's not your mother. Like,
because
I know that some people don't have that relationship with their mom, but maybe they have that relationship with their friend's mom or someone else's mother or just a friend, you know?
Agreed.
So send those to us at angryneighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or through Instagram is also good.
Neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com
or at angryneighborhoodfeminist on Instagram. We are always happy to have those stories. So mm-hmm. another thing I wanted to bring up, just because this is something I didn't realize, and I realized that other people in my life who were being supportive to the podcast didn't know, of mm-hmm. course, because we didn't say it. Mm-hmm. Radio Public. So yes. we get paid on Radio Public for, you know, every time you listen to an episode or at least listen to 30 minutes of any given episode.
Yes.
But it has to be on your mobile device.
Oh.
Yeah, it has to be through your app. So on the Radio Public app, iOS or you
Android,
know, or Android or whatever, but it's yeah. a free app and it's actually pretty great. I've been using it, you know.
Yeah.
And so if you've been listening on desktop, we so appreciate that. That's what got us into the indie picks of the week, which we were.
Yeah.
Is from all of you guys listening on whatever platform you were yeah. listening. It's amazing. But
if you want to help us financially.
If you want to help us financially, then listen on the Radio Public app yes. on your phone.
And did we ever contact them about the search for that? Because a listener let us know that she was having a hard time finding us on Radio Public.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you do, if you're searching for us on Radio Public, you do have to search your angry neighborhood feminist.
Yeah.
Or it should pop up after you're angry. But if you just search feminist, it won't come up for some reason. So we do need to reach out and talk to them about that.
Yeah.
But I
don't just know so you know, if you're searching for it and you can't find it, that's why.
Yeah. And then we have been in, like, just talking to the women over at Woman. We met them for dinner, and they're fantastic.
They're so wonderful.
And, you know, we're not getting ahead of ourselves or anything, but hopefully, like, there's a good relationship there. If nothing else, it's just awesome women supporting awesome women.
Agreed.
And so we just wanted to give them a more in-depth shout-out on this episode. So that is Woman, W-O-M-B-Y-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
And why they're named that, I kind of wrote this down. This is from their website, which is woman.com. It is womb, W-O-M-B, the place in which anything is formed or produced. The womb of time, the interior of anything, a celebration of life. And yin, Y-I-N, the female principle of the universe associated with earth, female, night, moon, lunar. And their mission is inspiring all women throughout all communities and in the arts to empower themselves and each other. And their vision, a collective collaborative of music, art, and photography by and for the wonder of all women.
Yeah.
So
they've got some great ideas. We feel so blessed to be invited into their world.
On their radar at all.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we're just so blessed. We're so excited. And we hope that there's more and more to come from being in their lives. And again, like Keegan said, if anything more, just from keeping them as great friends.
And yeah, yeah. And definitely, we just want to kind of spread that word.
Yeah, like definitely check out their website and check out the artists on their page.
Yeah.
Jessie is one of the owners. She's part of a girl band.
Dina, called True Violet.
Called True Violet, mm-hmm. Thank you. And Dina is a photographer. And they're
just really incredible, strong, empowering, inspiring women.
Yeah, yeah. Just God, they're so like fun to listen to talk and just yeah. kind of like hear what they have to say. They're just such wonderful yeah. people.
It was great having dinner with them because I felt like I am the queen of being really, really awkward and uncomfortable, like in unknown situations. And I never felt uncomfortable. It never felt like the conversation was forced or weird. It just felt very natural, like sitting with like people that you've known for a long time.
For a long time. Exactly. That's how I felt too. And it was just wonderful. And I'm hoping that more and more of these relationships can be built through this podcast. And I'm just like so thankful for everybody who reaches out to us. And lets us know that you're there because the support really just feels like the warmest hug I could ever ask for and makes me feel better on a crappy day. And it makes Keegan and I's, you know, little friendship grow even more and more. And it's fantastic. I'm so thankful for this whole process. So I just wanted to say that real quick.
Well, I know that this is basically a full-length episode at this point, but we are so glad that you tuned in to listen, and I feel like there was a lot to say this episode, so thanks for sticking with us.
And I'm just going to remind you so my mom doesn't yell at me.
Yes, thank you.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Tell people. Word of mouth is so important.
Totally. Go on iTunes and leave us a review. give us some stars. Tell us we're cool. Tell other people you think we're cool.
If
whatever.
You do, I mean.
If you do. If you,
if
don't,
you don't, then just don't say anything.
No, don't say anything. Don't say bad things either, though. Shh, keep that a secret. Yeah. But with that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye-bye.
Bye.